Mark chapter 1. 1 and 2. Remind you to remember to pray for the camping opportunities this summer at Penile, and especially pray for me as I am directing a week, Junior 2, and we still don't, still some needs there for the staff, so I'd appreciate your prayers for that, especially on the for the guys, guy counselors, so that's a really critical part of that week, so I'd be happy, pleased if you would pray for that. Pray that the Lord would provide. And when you do that, at least when I do that, my experience is that brings more praise to God because, you know, when you see people actually sign up, you say, praise the Lord. That's an answer to prayer. And so I just wanted to remind you about that. Mark chapter 1. This is a long chapter, 45 verses here, but hopefully tonight we'll finish out the chapter. And we will start in verse 29. But you remember from last week, Jesus has just started his ministry in Capernaum. And the accounts that Mark gives to us here demonstrate his authority. And he did that different ways through his preaching about the kingdom of God, and through his works, his casting out of a demon there in the synagogue. And as we come into chapter 29, the events that Mark records continue to do that. They continue to demonstrate Jesus' authority. We read about the healing of Simon's mother-in-law in verses 29 and 30 and 31. And that shows that Jesus has the authority to do those things. And then there's a general description of what Jesus continued to do. In verse 32, it says, at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And so Jesus continued to do this. Mark describes that generally. But we're not going to spend much time on those two descriptions there. What I want you to notice tonight is the fact that the works that Jesus did, they did demonstrate his authority. But notice that they also did something else. They raised attention about Jesus. And if we were to back up to verse 28, just go ahead and look there in verse 28. After Jesus did this miracle in the synagogue, it says, "And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee." And then on down in verse 33, it says that all the city was gathered together at the door to see Jesus. And so Jesus was getting some major publicity. When we first moved into our house here, it wasn't long before we realized that we were not alone. At night, we could hear some scurrying about in the walls. And we saw some evidence in the pantry that we were not alone. And so somebody gave us a block of poison. Looks like a big candy bar. And so I broke that up and I put it in various places in the basement, actually. We suspected they were coming in through the basement somehow. And it wasn't long before I noticed that the poison was extremely popular. It was all gone. And of course, you know the result of that. We began to see that the popularity wasn't necessarily a good thing. And when we see Jesus here, he's getting all kinds of popularity. Everyone's eyes are on him. But Jesus does not view that as a good thing. How does Jesus respond to all of that attention and popularity? Does he rejoice that so many are coming to him and being healed and set free from demons? He doesn't do that. In fact, he resists that popularity. Why does he do that? Why does Jesus resist the popularity? I want us to look at that, the answer to that question tonight, because I think we see in the remaining verses of Mark chapter 1 two reasons why Jesus resists popularity. And the reason, the main reason for that is because he has the right priorities. He's got things in the right order. And popularity is not high on his list. So why does Jesus resist popularity? What are the reasons? Well, we see the first reason in verse 35. Look at verse 35. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." Jesus resists popularity, first of all, because prayer is more important than popularity. Prayer is more important than popularity. And as we read that verse, we understand that prayer is more important than what Jesus was could have been doing. It's more important than busy ministry. He could have been busy from early in the morning till late at night, healing all the people of Capernaum. And yet he chose to leave and pray. I think if we were in the situation that Jesus was in, we would have been getting up early in the morning trying to figure out how we're going to logistically handle all these people, because this is great. All these people are coming to see Jesus. And we got to figure out how we're going to work in the most amount of people here. But Jesus doesn't do that. Instead of coming back to the crowds, he leaves. And I think it's important to notice where he goes. He goes to a solitary place to pray. And the word that's translated solitary place is the same word that's used throughout this first chapter and translated wilderness, the place where Jesus went to be tempted. He goes there to pray, a place that was without distraction. He went there purposefully to get away, to pray without distraction. So prayer is more important than popularity for Jesus, more important than his busy ministry. But I think it's also important to note here in verse 35 that for Jesus, prayer is more important than sleep. It says, "In the morning, rising up a great while before day." Literally, the text reads, "early in the morning, exceedingly dark," or "at night very much." This was early in the morning. This just wasn't just, 7:30, get up, spend a few minutes in prayer. This was get up way before the sun rises, when it was still very dark. It's still night. What could Jesus have been doing? He could have been getting sleep. He's a busy man. He spent the whole day in ministry. And here he chooses to forego his sleep to pray. I think that's important for us to notice. Prayer is more important. One of the chaplains of the U.S. Senate in the 1940s once prayed this prayer, "O Lord, forgive us for thinking that prayer is a waste of time, and help us to see that without prayer, our work is a waste of time." And that's an important lesson we need to learn too. Our tendency is to think that we could be doing so much else besides praying. We got things to do. We don't have time to pray. But Jesus' example here shows us the importance of prayer, even more than all the popularity he could handle. He chooses to pray. And he also chooses to pray at the beginning of his day. I think that shows us an important lesson too. Whatever we do in our day, prayer should be viewed as an important thing, an important priority. Whether it's time spent with our children, training our children, we have to view prayer as a priority. If we're going to minister to other believers and do all that kind of work that we're expected to do as Christians, we still need to prioritize prayer, just like Jesus did before he began to minister. If we're going to reach other people for Jesus Christ, we need to prioritize prayer as Jesus did. So Jesus had right priorities, and that causes him to resist popularity. And he does that, first of all, because prayer is more important than popularity. So that's the first reason why Jesus resists popularity. But there's a second reason I want to point out in this passage. And that is because his mission is more important than popularity. Jesus resists popularity because prayer is more important, but also because his mission is more important. Jesus is here to do something very specific, and he's not going to let anything else distract him from that. And we see that in two ways that's demonstrated. First of all, by Jesus' response to the disciples. Look at verse 36. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, "All men seek for thee." And he said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. So Jesus shows us that his mission is more important than popularity by this response that he gives. And I think we can identify with the disciples here. They come to Jesus, and in verse 36 it says that the people with Simon followed after him. And that's a word that means hunt down. I think that shows that they were anxious. Where is Jesus? All these people are coming, and where is he? We got to find him. And they come to Jesus, and they tell him, "Don't you realize all men seek for thee? Don't you realize what you could be doing right now?" But Jesus shows in his response in verse 38 that that is not the priority. He does not want to be known as a miracle worker, as somebody who's just primarily about healing everyone's diseases. No, Jesus has a message, and he must preach that message. And he must move on to other towns so that other people may know what he has to say. He says, "For therefore I came forth." I think that's a reference to coming forth from heaven. This is why he came forth to earth. He comes to preach this message, not to primarily be a miracle worker. The miracles are important. They show that Jesus is God. They show that Jesus has authority. But he has a priority. He has a mission. So Jesus' mission is important. That's one reason why he resists popularity. And we see that through his response here to the disciples. But then Mark shows us another account, another short story. He kind of zeroes in on a particular account of a healing of a leper. And I think this short story also shows us that Jesus' mission is more important than popularity. Let's read this these verses here, beginning in verse 40. Look at verse 40. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, 'If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.' And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, 'I will, be thou clean.' And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, 'See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.' But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." So this short story does show us a number of things about Jesus. It shows Jesus' compassion. In verse 41, it says that Jesus responded to this leper because he saw that he was in need. He was moved with compassion. And we also need to notice the leper's faith here in verse 40. He comes to him and he knows that all it takes is Jesus to be willing to heal him, and he'll be healed. He has tremendous faith in Jesus. And Jesus compassionately heals him. But I want you to notice the special warning that Jesus gives to the leper here. It says in verse 43 that he straitly charged him. And that word, just one word, straitly charged, in the text, means to warn sternly. Jesus is very serious about this. And what does he say in his warning? Verse 44, he saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest. So he says, say nothing to any man. I can remember reading about this story before and just wondering, why would Jesus not want people to know about this? Why would Jesus not want people to know that he can do this? But I think the answer to that question is, he has his priorities right. He does not want the popularity. Jesus has a mission, and he recognizes that that popularity distracts from his mission. And so even when he does heal somebody, which he can do, and he is God, and his compassion motivates him to do that, but even when he does do that, he doesn't want that word to get out. He doesn't want the popularity. And Jesus tells him to be obedient to the Mosaic law. Leviticus 14 shows why that had to be done. He instructed the man to follow those regulations, and it says, for a testimony unto them. That may be for the priests, a testimony to the priests, so that they will see this is a genuine miracle. He wanted them to know something is happening here. And we see that the leper didn't follow those instructions. And notice what the result of the leper's disobedience was. It was exactly what Jesus didn't want. He couldn't even go into the cities anymore. He had to stay out in the desert places. People came out to him. That's not what Jesus wanted. He wanted to pursue his mission, and his popularity would distract from that. One of the books that I've been reading lately is called Curious George Rides a Bike. And I'm sure you understand why I've been reading that a lot lately, almost every day. And in that book, it's a great lesson to learn, but Curious George gets a bike from the man in the yellow hat. Has anybody ever read this book? Okay, a few people. And the bike is the beginning of his adventures, and he goes out into the town and meets a paper boy. And the paper boy offers to have George help him, and so he gives George some papers, and George goes down one side of the street and delivers all the papers on one side of the street, and then he gets a little ways down and he sees a little river off in the distance. And that makes George very curious. And so he gets distracted from his mission that was given to him by this paper boy, and he gets into all kinds of trouble. He loses all of his papers. He makes boats out of them. He breaks his bike that was given to him by the man in the yellow hat, and he gets in all kinds of trouble at the animal show. But it was all because he got distracted. And that's how we are. We have a mission that is given to us too by Jesus. And yet we get distracted from that mission. And one of the main areas that we get distracted is popularity. We discover that we care what other people think. That's a great concern to us. You know, I think one way that maybe has the potential to distract us is all the opportunities for popularity that the internet affords to us. And, you know, it's opened up the door for really anyone to achieve a status, to get so many followers. And I'm not saying that the internet is bad. I think it's a great tool, but isn't that a way that can distract us from our mission, from perhaps even using something that could be used mightily to pursue our mission? But it has the potential to distract us with focusing on popularity. Or maybe it's our ministry, even when we minister here in the church. Is our first concern serving others, or is it, well, what's everyone else going to think about me if I engage in this particular ministry? Am I doing this to serve Christ, to serve others, or to gain popularity? What it boils down to is pride. It's selfishness. We want to be noticed by others. We want other people to think that we have arrived, we have a certain status. But our mission is to make Christ great, to exalt God above all else. And I think that we see the example here set by Jesus for a purpose. He came for a purpose. He had a mission. And Christ is our example. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in his steps." And so when we study the Gospels, we should see an example to live by. Christ is our example. We need to be conformed to his image. And Jesus Christ resists popularity. And he does that because prayer is important. Prayer is most important. And also because he has a mission. Jesus Christ, when he came to earth, he had a mission. It was not to become known as a miracle worker, although he did miracles. His mission was to preach the message of the gospel, and then to demonstrate that he could save us from our sins, to come as the Redeemer. And nothing would set him aside from that task, from that mission, not even popularity. He came to be our Redeemer. We must follow Christ's example. But the first thing that we need to do is understand that Christ's mission was for us. And when we come to Christ, as we read about him here in the Gospels, we're not just doing this to have knowledge, to fill our minds. We need to come to Christ and recognize that what he did was for us. He pursued this mission for us. And God wants us to turn to him and believe that he is the Savior, that he is the Savior for us. He demonstrated that he is able. He was willing. He set aside all popularity. And he came to show us to prioritize prayer, and he came to pursue that mission. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what it teaches us about you. We thank you that when Jesus came, nothing could distract him. Know that he came for us. He came to preach the message of the gospel, and he came to die. We pray that you would help us to truly understand what that means and help us to demonstrate faith in him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.